a song of degrees. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in hearts. As for such as turn aside, let their crooked ways, the Lord, unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you once again for your word tonight. Thank you all for your people that's gathered here on a Sunday night. Thank you for their faithfulness. And Lord, just help us to give a brief thought. That'll be a blessing and an encouragement and a challenge to our folks tonight. And what you do, we'll thank you and we'll give you glory for it. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. One of the things I strive to be, many things, the preacher. Number one, I don't want to be known as a long-winded preacher. I've asked my wife and I got home. I think I'd preached 26 minutes on Sunday morning and about 25 minutes on Sunday night. And I said, I don't want people to feel like I'm cheating them. She says, well, I think it's more important for them to remember what you said than to have an hour and a half worth of stuff and they not get one word that you said. And so I don't want to be long-winded. Now, if God gets in it, that's different. I'll say this, if God gets in it, I won't be the only one that knows it. Have you ever been in a service where God got in it, but the preacher's the only one that knew, all right? I have a feeling God probably didn't get in it. But then my next thing is I want to be a Bible preacher. I want to preach what the Bible says. And so tonight, just being honest with you, I'm going to walk through this psalm. I've got five things I want to say out of this psalm. Very, very simple tonight. But the theme of this psalm is found in the first six words. They that trust in the Lord. That is our thought tonight. They that trust in the Lord. I'm glad you can trust Him tonight. He is a trustworthy God. You know, there's some people you can't trust. I mean, you wouldn't just let anybody watch your children. You just wouldn't let anybody sit at maybe house sit, stay at your home in your absence. You wouldn't just let anybody drive your vehicle. You wouldn't let just anybody do certain things. Why? Because you don't trust everybody. But I'm glad you can trust the Lord. Amen. You can trust Him personally. David said in Psalm 18, he said, He is the God of my, in whom I will trust. Psalm 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You can trust Him personally. You can trust Him with your path. The Bible said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not thine own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I'm glad you can trust Him. With you can trust Him not only personally, and you can trust Him with your path, but you can trust Him preeminently. The Bible said it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. What does that preeminently mean? Well, men will let you down. People will let you down. May I let you know something? I, as your pastor, will let you down. But I'm telling you, I'm glad Jesus will never let you down. And Jesus will never disappoint you. And Jesus will never leave you or abandon you. But you can trust Him tonight. You can trust Him in your problems. Job said in Job 13, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Even when everything was going wrong in Job's life, Job said, I can still trust the Lord. He's trustworthy tonight. I trusted Him for salvation when I got born again by the grace of God. But I tell you, I also trust Him for the everyday situations in my life. When things come into my life that I don't know how to handle and I don't comprehend what's going on, I'm glad I can trust Him. I want to say five things out of this psalm tonight, and we're going to look at it two ways. This psalm is very, very prophetical. This psalm has a lot of implications to do with the millennial reign, tribulation period, and the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at those thoughts tonight, but we're also going to take a practical application as we look at it. So first of all, I want to say, they that trust in the Lord, they have a steadfast position. Look at verse number one, please. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. We note three things in this verse. First of all, we note a comparison. He said, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. It didn't say they would be Mount Zion, but he said it'd be as Mount Zion. Now, Mount Zion is the name of the old Jebusite stronghold that David took when he became king in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. In fact, the Bible says, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem under the Jebusites and the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking that David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. You know what they said? They said, ding, David, he ain't going to come in here and take this land. But nevertheless, David came in and took it. Here's the prophetical application. The world says that Jesus is not coming again. They say that religion is just a fairy tale. They say it's false and he's not coming. But I'm telling you, King Jesus is going to come. And he's going to take Mount Zion. He's going to take back Jerusalem. He's going to sit on the throne of his father David for 1,000 years. Remember, David was the first. I understand Saul was king. He was the people's choice. God allowed him to be king. But David was a man after God's own heart. And it is the throne of David. And the world and the flesh and the devil and the Antichrist, they're going to try to do everything they can to stop Jesus from coming to Zion. But I tell you, they couldn't stop him from coming the first time, and they won't stop him from coming the second time. King Jesus will take Zion. Throughout the Psalms, though, practically, Zion is the name for Jerusalem. It is the name for the holy city of God. So they that trust in the Lord, they're like Mount Zion, a comparison. But then we know the confidence which cannot be removed. It not only just implies that it will not be removed, but it states that it cannot be removed. Meaning, hallelujah, I see so much, I don't want to preach all prophecy tonight, but there's so much prophecy in this psalm, it's pitiful. Meaning that it doesn't matter what the Antichrist does, it doesn't matter what the UN does, it doesn't matter what Russia does, or any of those other Arab nations that want to come against Israel, they are not going to annihilate the Jew. They are not going to annihilate Jerusalem. But here's what God said, Zion cannot be removed. You ought to thank God for that tonight, to know that it doesn't matter what the world throws at Israel. They've been trying to destroy them since Egypt land, but God's always brought them through, and God's always been faithful to them, and God's always made a way when there was no way. God's been faithful, and He'll be faithful to that Jew during that tribulation period again. We know the confidence. Somebody said, preacher, how does that help me? I ain't going to live through that. I'll tell you what it is. We're not founded on Mount Zion tonight as a rock, but the church is founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as Mount Zion will never be removed, thank God the rock of ages will never be removed. The rock that we're standing on tonight, they that trust in the Lord. You know what we have tonight? We have a steadfast position. We don't have to be tossed to and fro in this world, left and right by the things, but we can stand true and we can stand firm. Not in the power of our own strength, not in the power of our own ability, but we can stand in the power of His might. Amen. So we know the comparison, we know the confidence, but we know the continuation. But abideth forever. The word here, abideth, means to dwell. The word forever means everlasting, evermore, perpetual, or for a long time. I tell you, the wicked's day will be cut short, but aren't you glad that the righteous will shine like the noonday sun? Aren't you glad that when this thing's over and the last shot is fired and God's people are looking down on this thing, we'll still be standing, we'll still be singing, we'll still be shouting, and we'll still be with the Savior. You know why? Not because of who we are, but we're part of that crowd that trust in the Lord. Y'all getting this tonight? They that trust in the Lord, they have a steadfast position. Secondly, verse 2, they that trust in the Lord have a surrounding protection. Look at verse 2. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forevermore. We know two things in this verse. We know the type in verse number 2. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem. Now, when I think of mountains, I'm thinking about the great Smoky Mountains. I'm thinking about the mountains we see in Pigeon Forge. But these mountains in the Middle East are not like those mountains. They're really, in our minds, they're hills. They're really high hills and high knolls. If you was to look on the east side of the city in Jerusalem, you would see the Mount of Olives. On the southwest side of the city, you'd see the Mount of Offense. On the south hill, you would see the hill of the Mount of Evil Counsel. And that north part of Jerusalem was a rigid, hilly country. So I said, preacher, what are you saying there? All, everywhere they looked, there was a mountain. There was a hill surrounding them. We know the type in this verse, but then we know the truth in this verse. So is the Lord round about His people from henceforth, even forevermore. John Phillips made this statement. I like it. He said the mountains and the hills were not Israel's defense, but if the enemy was going to get to Israel, they have to go through those rugged mountains and those rugged hills. And it reminded me of this, as those mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people, and He is our defense tonight. That tells me if the enemy wants to get to me, he's got to come through the Lord. If he wants to get to where I'm at, he's got to go through God. You know what that shepherd does in John 10? The Bible said he goeth out before his sheep. Meaning if anything was going to get to that flock, it would have to go to the shepherd first. Preacher, why am I going through this situation? Preacher, why am I going through this trial? I'll tell you why. Because the shepherd allowed it. The shepherd saw it coming down the road. He saw it coming down the trail. And he allowed that to enter your life. But honey, take courage and take hope in this, that it didn't get to you before it got to God. God already saw it. It had to go by the desk of the Lord Jesus Christ long before it ever showed up in your house. God knew about it. Long before the first financial collapse of Job, long before the first child died, long before the first bull popped out on Job's skin, God knew about it. God knew about it. Long before that trial you walked into took place, God already knew about that tonight. You know why? Because you're surrounded. You know why you're surrounded by protection? Because you're one of those that trust in the Lord. Y'all getting this tonight? They that trust in the Lord have a steadfast position. They that trust in the Lord have a surrounding protection. Look at verse number 3. They that trust in the Lord have a sure promise. Look at verse 3. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hand unto iniquity. Now there's a lot of things going on in this verse. Let me see if I can compress them into two things. First of all, there's the rod of the wicked. The rod of the wicked speaks of the power and the authority of sin. The power and the authority of the world and how they attack and how they come. A rod is an instrument of cruelty, if you would. And this verse reminded the presence of the enemy and the power of the enemy. There's the rod of the wicked, but then there's the reassurance of the word. That rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Now, prophetically, what does this mean? Well, that word prophetically means this. The word rest in our text means that the rod of the wicked will not have an eternal reign upon the righteous. You know what's been going on in Israel since God's people stepped in the land of Canaan? They've had to fight for that land. I mean, from the book of Joshua until about 30 seconds ago, they've been fighting to keep that land. You realize it ain't a big parcel of land? It's not like it's the state of North Carolina. It's not even that big. Very, very small strip of land. Very, very small. But they've had to fight for every inch of ground. And they've had to fight against the Philistines and the Canaanites and all that crowd. And now they're having to fight against, they've had to fight against Hitler. And they've had to fight against all those. They're fighting against ISIS. They're fighting against the UN. And we better hope they don't have to fight against America because we're done. Amen. May I remind you that God don't raise the American flag and pray to play the Star Spangled Banner in heaven. There's only one nation He has allegiance to, and that's Israel. I thank God for America. I'm looking forward to celebrating July 4th. Somebody say amen. But I tell you, my allegiance is not only to America, but it's to God. And let me just remind you about something. Everybody gets all uppity-do when something in America happens. Oh, the Lord's fixing to come. America ain't God's calendar on prophecy. You want to know what's going on in prophecy? You look over that little piece of land in Israel. You watch what's happening over there, and you'll get a good idea what's going on in prophecy. Amen? I wish some of my preacher friends get a hold of that. But anyway, I'm just telling you tonight that they're wrecking, they're ruined, they're fighting against Israel, they're fighting against the people people of God. They had to fight for every square inch of land. But I tell you, this verse makes a promise. This verse makes an assurance to the people of God that the enemy, the rod of the wicked, shall not always rest on that land. That rod of the wicked is not always going to be beaten on Israel, taking their land. But there is coming a day when the lion's going to lay down with the lamb and everything's going to be right. You know why? Because King Jesus is sitting on the throne. They won't have to fight for that land anymore. But John said, I didn't see a city going up, but I saw a city coming down, New Jerusalem, and it had 12 foundations, and its builder and maker was God. And aren't you glad tonight there's coming a day when sin will no longer rule, sin will no longer be rampant. But I tell you, there'll be a new day with the new king. He'll rule with a rod of iron. This thing will run right for the first time when King Jesus reigns. Sadly, and this ain't a reflection on anybody I've sat under, but you don't hear much preaching on the millennial reign of Christ. Do you? You don't hear much preaching on that 1,000 year. About years ago, and I say it respectfully when I say old-timers, but them old-timers, Brother Langston's generation, and Brother Larry Perry, and Brother Sanford's generation, those men of God, they talk about the millennial reign a lot. You know why? You know why? They're looking forward to it. And I tell you, I'm looking forward to it too. I'm looking forward to the day when I don't have to battle with this flesh and I don't have to battle with sin. But I'm telling you, anytime I want to go see Jesus, I can just go and see Him on that throne there in Jerusalem. Honey, I got news for you. If you think you're going to spend all eternity in heaven, I got news for you. You know, it's them when people ain't reading their Bible and they're listening to songs. You're only going to be in heaven for about 7 years. And then the Lord's going to set up the millennial reign 1,000 years on the earth. Woo! I know that messes up. Get me that mansion over the hilltop, you know. Who wants a mansion over the hilltop? Seriously? I didn't know there were hilltops in heaven. But anyway, I believe we'll be able to go back and forth, but that city's coming down, and this earth's going to be destroyed with fire, and God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things going to be passed away, and Jesus is going to rule and reign, and we're going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. There'll be peace, there'll be safety, there'll be prosperity. The children can play in the streets. You won't have to worry about them. And the wolf will lay down with the lamb. They've been natural enemies, but they're going to get together during that time. Why? Because the curse will be lifted. Sin will be gone. The devil will be destroyed. Hallelujah. I'm looking. Anybody listen to me? I'm looking forward to that day when every wrong will be made right. When King Jesus reigns. And the psalmist makes a promise in this text. It ain't always going to be like this. I know sin's reigning now. I know things look bad now. But honey, there is coming a day when everything is going to be made right. Amen. I'm a Trumper, all right? I voted for Trump. I'd vote for him again. Amen. If I was a Democrat, I'd vote for him early and often. You'll get that after a while. By the way, I ain't talking to my grandpa no more. I ain't talking to him again. He's been dead 15 years still voting for Joe Biden. My goodness. I ain't going to his cemetery no more to see him. Amen. Keep voting for Joe Biden like that. But I'm telling you, even though I like President Trump, and I still do like him, reading the book about his chief of staff now, the more I read about him, the more I like him, amen? And he wasn't a perfect man, but neither are you. Somebody said, well, he had a bad mouth. Well, so did Phil Kidd, and a lot of guys had him in their church for years, so what's the difference? At least Trump don't claim to be saved. But anyway, even though I like Trump being president, there's still sin in this earth. He still made some mistakes. He's not a perfect man. There were still things going on that I didn't agree with, but I'm telling you, when King Jesus reigns, I'm going to like everything He does. I'm going to agree. In fact, everybody's going to like what He does. They're going to say, that's a wonderful idea. You know why? Because He's going to rule with a rod of iron, and He'll rule with righteousness, and He's going to do it right. Thank God for that day. I'm supposed to be done in 2 minutes. There's a rod of the wicked, the reassurance of the Word. There's a rejected way. Look at verse number 3. Lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. Practically speaking, in this text, He gives a promise that the wicked will not win. I'll be honest with you, humanly speaking, when we look at the world, we say, what's the use living for God? We're not making a difference. Anybody else ever think that before? I mean, I'm not making that big of a difference. But you know what? God gave us this promise in the Bible. Let us know the wicked's not going to win. So don't you join them. You know, everybody said, well, if you can't beat them, join them. And that's what a lot of God's people are doing. They think there ain't no use in fighting. So they're just going to join them. But God says in this verse, don't put forth your hands to iniquity. You keep on fighting. You keep on standing. You keep on doing right. Because there is coming a day. Number four. I'm going to give you these last two quickly and we'll go eat. They that trust the Lord, they have a spoken prayer. Look at verse 4. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. You know what the man that trusts in the Lord? He's asking God to bless the good in this verse. He said, God, would you bless those that are doing what's right? And he's asking God, secondly, to bless those that are godly, and them that are upright in their hearts. You know, I practiced this verse this morning. I try to practice it often. I try to pray for you folks. I pray that God blesses your jobs, blesses your family. Amen. Make sure your vehicles run good. You know why? Because I want you to be blessed. God's blessed me, and I want to pray that God blesses y'all. There's nothing. Hey, that'd be a good prayer to pray. God, it's like, well, I don't need God to pray for prosperity. There ain't nothing wrong with that. If it's right in the will of God and you're not robbing God, somebody say amen. I pray often, God bless our men. God, give them raises. God, give them extra hours if they need extra hours. God bless them. Do what they need. Give them exactly what I want. God to bless you. And I hope you'll pray, God will bless me. This is a prayer. Those that trust the Lord, pray for one another. Because we realize that if we get blessed, it ain't our boss, man, blessing us. It's the Lord blessing us. And they that trust in the Lord have a sweet peace. Look at verse 5. As for such that turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel. Three things in this verse. Notice the direction in verse 5. As for such that turn aside into crooked ways. The word crooked refers to being devious. There are some, they're going to go the way of the wicked. Devious is the opposite of truth. We know that Jesus said, thy word is truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. But they're going devious. They're going the opposite way. That's the direction. Notice the discipline. The Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. Those who want to reject God and go down the path of sin, you know what God's going to do? He's going to let them go. God won't make you do right, but He'll make you wish you would have. Somebody say, how do you know that? Ain't none of your business. Amen. Been there, done that, haven't you? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Well, we could have done right and we didn't do right, and God made us wish we would have. It's called going to the woodshed. But then notice the declaration, verse 5. But peace shall be upon Israel. Where does this peace? This is a millennial prophecy of the peace during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. You know why? You know, everybody in the middle, everybody in the UN, everybody's talking about peace in the Middle East. They want peace. I could save them a lot of money, like they want, like they care about saving money. But there ain't going to be peace in the Middle East. Not until the Prince of Peace shows up. You know why there's going to be peace be upon Israel in that millennial reign? Because who's sitting on the throne? The one who's took Mount Zion. The Lord Jesus Christ. So I said, preacher, that's a lot of prophecy tonight, and that deals with Israel, and it does. This, being honest with you, church, this psalm is to Israel. It's talking to the nation of Israel. But here's the application we learn. There are principles in these verses tonight that they that trust in the Lord, you know what it tells us tonight? It pays to trust God. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, the songwriter said. And even though we may not be able to claim the land promises, somebody said, I put it like this, God has an earthly people and a heavenly people. His earthly people are Israel. His heavenly people is the church. The Jews inherit physical blessings and the church inherits spiritual blessings. Ain't that wonderful? And even though we may not get the physical blessings of this psalm, we can enjoy the fact that we can trust Him tonight. And seeing how He takes care of Israel encourages me that I can trust Him more. Jesus, how I trust Him. How I prove Him more and more. Jesus, how I trust Him. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Let's stand together.